Jesus' name. So this morning, if you're tracking with us, this is the fourth Sunday of Advent, and so I'm going to preach a word this morning, and maybe it's appropriate if I just preach until this first candle burns all the way down to the bottom, and then we'll know that church is over. I'm keeping my eye on that one. But this morning, we're going to continue in a series we've been in, looking at this Lord and Savior that we know as Jesus, and we've been in John. This morning, we're going to look at Luke. Before I look at the word, though, this morning, I want to share with you something that I've noticed just recently. There is a new cultural phenomenon taking place in our world. Now, I'm not talking about politics and all of that discussion that is kind of consuming right now. No, I'm talking about this new cultural phenomenon known as gender reveal parties. Does anybody know this morning? Raise your hand if you know what I'm talking about. All right, see, it's a phenomenon, these gender reveal parties. Right, if you don't know what I'm talking about, a couple who's expecting a child will have their doctor write down the sex of their unborn child and not show it to the couple, and then that couple will go and they'll take it and they'll hand it to somebody else, right, a family member, or sometimes they'll take it to a bakery and say, hey, would you bake us cupcakes and make them whatever, blue or pink? I think those are the two choices, right? Blue or pink? There's, blue or pink? And it's become this big thing. Sometimes, you've probably seen all these kind of videos. Sometimes there's clay pigeons that you can shoot with a shotgun and the smoke will be blue or pink. And others have hit baseballs or golf balls. And sometimes those little plans don't quite work out how they're supposed to. But there are all kinds of ways to make this announcement. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with all of this. It's just kind of rather new. Katie and I have three daughters, ages 3, 5, and 7, and it never occurred to us that we could do this or that this was much of a thing. Katie's first pregnancy, I was there. Our first pregnancy was identical twin girls, and when she got pregnant again, we just kind of automatically assumed that was probably going to be another girl, and sure enough, it was another girl, and then by the third pregnancy, there was really no need to have a gender reveal. We just knew it was going to be a girl. Now, that's just our story, right? We know that it doesn't work that way for every couple, but these days, people seem to want to celebrate this kind of thing, and I find it somewhat fascinating because in our culture, people seem so separate and isolated, and we really don't share very much anymore. Well, we think we share a lot, right? We'll put things out there on social media, but that's not real face-to-face interaction. That's kind of the easy way out, right? It's not interactive, it's just one-sided. But deep down, many people want to invite others into their lives because deep down, so many people are lonely. So maybe these parties are just another way of doing just that, inviting other people into their lives. That or it's just an excuse for some more gifts and a party. I'm not quite sold on which one. But this morning I want us to look at the greatest announcement that has ever been made. It's the greatest birth announcement. See, Jesus, the very Son of God, had an amazing announcement of his own, and this morning we're going to find that story, that announcement, in the Gospel of Luke. I know we've been in John, but we're looking at the Gospel of Luke this morning in the very first chapter. So if you've got a Bible, you can open up. It'll be on the screen for you as well. Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse 26. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. Now the virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." And Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, this little town in Galilee, a small, insignificant little place. What would be an equivalent for us? Certainly not Conrad, but I'm just picking on some people. Not Gladbrook, you know, some small, out-of-the-way kind of place. God sent the angel Gabriel, and there, the angel found Mary. It's the kind of place that doesn't really show up on the maps. It's the kind of place that your phone would have a hard time locating, and yet God was able to find it. As insignificant as it seemed, God was able. God is more than able to find that which seems small and insignificant. And if we're honest, sometimes we feel small and insignificant, but yet God sees us. He knows where we are. So the angel came to Mary, a virgin. We hear a virgin who is engaged to Joseph. The angel appears to her and shares this announcement. Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. So before anything else, a greeting? Mary is just like us, is wondering what this could mean. Before even revealing what is to come, God is letting Mary know who she is. Greetings, you who are highly favored. Why is she so favored? Because she was chosen. Now, some in the church take it to an extreme, and they begin to worship Mary because they believe that she was chosen, and certainly God chose Mary. But more than that, the Lord, through the angel, reminds her that the Lord is with you. When the Lord is with you, when the Lord is with you, you are highly favored. It is God's presence. So you may think that everything and everyone is against you, but ask yourself this, is the Lord with me? The psalmist writes in Psalm 118, the Lord is with me, I will not be afraid. What can a mere mortal do to me? The Lord is with me, he is my helper. I look in triumph on my enemies. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in humans. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. God knew what was coming into Mary's life way before Mary ever did. Mary just knew that she was a young teenage girl, very young in fact, and probably saw herself as just a lowly servant in some obscure little town. No one else knew her name beyond her family and village. She was from a nowhere kind of place. And in many ways, if the world were to label her, they would have labeled her a nobody. But God knew his plan. God knew his purpose. And God chose Mary, a servant who was willing. See, God doesn't need the all-powerful and the mighty. He wants those who are willing, those who will surrender their lives to him. People who will honor him and follow him. People who will be obedient to him and to his way. Mary had no idea that her life would change forever. So before this life-changing news is given, God reminds her, I am with you. I am with you. Maybe today you need to be reminded that God is with you. Yes, there are all kinds of things happening all around you, but listen to him. He is the one that comes to us now. He sees you. He knows you. If God is truly with you, then it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what's happening. It doesn't matter what's coming up next. You see, your circumstances don't define you. God's presence does. It's his presence. But so often, I get stuck focusing on my problems. So often we want God to change our circumstances to take away the pain or the problem that we're facing. All the while, God is there saying, I'm here. I'm here. Fear not. Look to me. I am with you. Now, Mary was troubled by this greeting. And if ever there's an understatement in Scripture, this might be it. Mary was troubled by this greeting. I think we can understand why. If we were a young teenage girl and an angel appeared to us, we might be troubled in our spirit as well. So she wonders, what is this? What's happening to me? The angel says to her, do not be afraid. Right? No matter what is about to happen, do not be afraid. No matter what's next, do not be afraid. I know I've said this before, but if it's from God, there is no need to fear. I think I just said that in Sunday school. If it's from God, there is no need to fear. Where he is, there is peace. So the angel's word to Mary is, do not be afraid. Mary had found favor with God. Listen, favor is just the grace of God at work in someone's life. Is God at work in your life? Have you received his grace? Then you have God's favor in your life. Favor is the grace of God at work in someone's life. Mary had found favor with God because God came to her. So it isn't that Mary is so significant, it's that God is significant, and that God chose Mary. So the angel breaks this news, shares this amazing announcement. Mary, get this, you're gonna give birth to a child, a son. His name will be Jesus. But get this, you're not gonna just name him Jesus. You see, he's gonna be great, and he will be called Son of the Most High. Not only that, but God is gonna give him the throne of David. Not only that, but he's going to reign over all of Jacob's descendants forever, and his kingdom will never end. Listen, if I don't say anything else true this morning, can I say this morning, this is true. His kingdom will never end. Now, I don't say that to discount everything else, but it's a reality for us. And sometimes we live as if we question, God, where are you? The angel makes it known to Mary that her son would reign. So Mary responds, and we find her response in Luke 1, continuing in verse 34. Mary says, how will this be? She asked the angel, since I'm a virgin. The angel answered her, the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. You see, even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is now in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word to me be fulfilled. And then the angel left her. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now, how would you respond to this kind of news? Right, many of you have experienced that joy of an announcement. If you're a mother, you remember that moment. You remember that moment when it was confirmed, when you knew the reality of a child being conceived. Some of you fathers, you know that moment when that's a different moment. I don't need to describe that. My wife is still at home sick, so I don't want to get in trouble. But you know what that's like. And now Mary, she's getting this news, and her first response is, how can this be? I am a virgin. It doesn't make any sense, God. Pregnancy isn't possible. So what are you doing, God? What is it that you're saying? The angel answered her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. The Holy Spirit. Listen, have you ever come into an impossible situation in your life? Or has God ever given you a vision, a dream, something bigger than you? And as you think of that vision, you know that it doesn't make any sense. Sometimes I think God lays on our hearts the dreams and visions that are from Him that just seem impossible, beyond belief. Doesn't make any sense as you think about it. Sometimes you're even afraid to speak it out loud or tell others. Afraid to believe that God is maybe even behind that. Because you know it's impossible. So how can it ever happen? How can it come to be? Mary was facing an impossible situation. She knew her reality, and yet God was telling her that there was something about to happen. So what makes the difference? For those impossible situations, those things from God, what makes the difference? It's the Holy Spirit. It's God's power. Right? As Mary asked, the response was, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. The Holy Spirit will overshadow you. This morning, we can't do anything outside of the very work of God within us. Right? If we're trying to do things outside of what God is doing in us, it's going to leave us empty. And when we receive a word from the Lord, and as we look at His word, it doesn't happen unless God's presence is in it. Without His power and His presence, it's empty. So Mary asks, how will this happen? How can this be? The angel tells her it'll be the Holy Spirit. If you've been with us the last 3 weeks, you remember John's gospel, and you remember how he begins the word to us. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. So listen, if God is speaking things into your life and you're going to try and accomplish it for Him without Him, it's not going to work. Because in the beginning, God. John wrote to us and he tells us in John 1, in the beginning was God. He was the one who spoke and it was. But there's something else for us to remember this morning. This is what the angel tells Mary. No word from God will ever fail. No word from God will ever fail. Could it be this morning that God is still faithful? Could it be that His promises are still true? Could it be that God really is more than able? You see, at this point, God's people had waited and waited. There was silence for over 400 years. Some of us can't even wait a day. God's people waited over 400 years, not hearing anything. They were just clinging to the promise of the word that was spoken. But it wasn't until God entered in and His presence was there that it came to life. So where was God in all of that waiting? Each of us has to decide whatever we want to today. But as for Mary, she needed this word from the angel Gabriel. She needed the reminder that God's word would never fail. No matter what she would face, God's word would never fail. And let's not get stuck in just thinking about the Bible, which is God's word to us, but let's remember what John has taught us the last few weeks, that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So not only has God given us His word, but He has sent His word to us in Jesus. It's through Him, it's through Jesus that all things are made. God will not fail. I got one amen. God will not fail. Right? I think we're quiet because sometimes we're just caught in our experiences. We say, but God's word will not fail. Listen, I get it. I get it. I've had struggles in my life, and I've been walking with some of you these last few weeks, and I know the circumstances that you're up against. I get it. I understand it. I know that some of those situations seem impossible. But here, the angel tells Mary, no word from God will ever fail. So what is it that God is saying to you this morning? What is it that God might say about that situation you are in, that difficulty, that challenge? After hearing all of this, Mary responds. Before I share her response, let's remember who Mary is. This young teenager, 12 or 13-year-old, from a nowhere place. No one knew her name. God comes to her, tells her of this wonderful plan that's going to happen in her life, and she responds with these words, I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. And every time I hear those words, year after year, it hits me. It convicts me. It challenges me. Because how often has God come to us and nudged us and prompted us and pleaded with us and shown us the way, and we struggle. We hold on. We're one foot in with following and one foot out doing our own thing. Living a compromised life, double-minded. And this teenage girl says, I'm the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. So how are you responding to God? See, there are two parts to this. There's the initial news, this wonderful announcement. Mary, you're going to have a son. Surprise! There's that part. But the second part is this. The second part is the pregnancy. The reality of that promise. That all-important time of waiting and growth. It's the time where there's that struggle. Okay, God, I heard what you said. Now I'm just going to have to trust you. I'm going to have to wait. You see, receiving the announcement was just the beginning. And those of you who are moms this morning are expecting, you know, that the announcement is just the first part. There's a whole other thing called pregnancy. Lord bless you. Thank you, Jesus, for creating me as a male. Anyways. In the midst of all this, though, we know that Mary was just like one of us. She had her own struggles, her own feelings, her own emotions. She had those moments where she probably even questioned, Lord, what are you doing? But in those moments, just like us, she had the opportunity, just like we do, to say, God, if you don't move, if you're not the answer, this will not happen as you said. Some of us are facing situations that are beyond us. And we're trying to figure out the answer. We're trying to find hope in all of it. But at the end of the day, we know and we need to understand that we need God to move. We got to wait on His timing. We got to trust His word, the word that will never fail. So where are you at today? Have you received the good news that Jesus is Lord? If you received the good news, how is it changing you? How are you growing in the Lord? What is it that God's doing in your life these days? And what is He doing in us as His people this morning? See, if God is truly within you, if He is growing you, if you're following after Him, it'll become visible. Right, Mary is given this wonderful news that she will, she's going to conceive and is going to be the very Son of God. His name's going to be Jesus. But let me tell you something. Over those next few months, it was going to become visible as that child began to grow, as that promise began to grow within her. It would have become very visible. So when you receive the word, Jesus, It produces growth within you. There are signs that point to what God is doing within you. Paul writes to the Galatians in Galatians 5. He gives us a picture of what some of that looks like. We know it as the fruit of the Spirit. It looks like love and joy and peace and patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Are these characteristics found in you? Are they visible? And are they growing? You can't produce this kind of fruit apart from God. What I'm saying is you can't live for God and be separated from Him. Life within Mary only became possible through God's presence. So Jesus is the lifelight. And He is the one who brings the newness, everlasting life. But He doesn't leave us there. He sends His Holy Spirit so that we'll continue to follow after Him, trusting in His very presence within us. See, the angel told Mary that the Holy Spirit would come upon her, that the Holy Spirit would overshadow her. You could see it covering her. She was found within God. Are you found in God this morning? Have you surrendered your life to Him? Have you given God your yes? Mary said, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. Literally, she said, if this is what you want, God, then I will do it. If this is what you want, God, then I'm in. I'm going to do it for you. That's faith. Faith is giving God your yes before you know what He's even asking of you and trusting Him in that. But He has to be Lord of your life. If He truly is Lord of your life, then it doesn't matter what comes your way. When everything else becomes uncertain, you can remain certain of Him. He is your certainty. So don't look for the truth in your experiences. You need to look to Him and let Him be your truth. Don't be afraid. Instead, surrender it. Surrender it all to Him. Surrender even that anxiety and fear that trips you up. Surrender it all to Him and let Him reign. Let Him be Lord of your life. And if He is Lord of your life, and if you're following after Him, then He will reveal what you need to know in His timing. Listen, it's said in His Word that His ways are perfect. And I don't know why it is that so often we don't trust Him and His ways. So often we want to see that answer now. But His ways are perfect. His ways are higher than our ways. So I don't know about you, but I just need to be done with my own ways. I need to be done with my own understanding. I just need to come to this place that Mary came to, where she just says, I'm your servant. Whatever you say, Lord, whatever you're asking of me, then I'm in. I'm going to trust you. Lord, help us today. So I don't know where you're at. I know some of the challenges that you're facing, and I've been blessed to be able to walk with so many of you. But let us not forget in the middle of our circumstances that He is Lord of all. That the promise that was spoken through the angel Gabriel to Mary is still true today. That Jesus is the very Son of God, that He is Lord of all, that He is reigning, and that He is victorious today. That's the God that I trust. That's the God that I'm following. And I'm so thankful for the story. that he enters in humility as a baby child, signaling to us that it doesn't matter who you are, where you've come from, or what you've done with your life, that he is familiar. He knows you, he loves you, and he makes the way for you. So I'd love for us to just simply close in prayer together. And as we close in prayer, each one of us will have to settle in our hearts today if we're going to trust him or not, if he's going to be Lord or not. But I also think this morning that God is challenging us afresh and anew to trust him in a deeper level, to trust him with all that you are, but also to trust him with your future. Mary didn't know what it was going to look like. She didn't know the circumstances she would have to face. Those of you who know the story know that there were challenges along the way. But she was able to commit it at the very beginning to trust. Whatever, Lord. Amen. Let's pray together this morning. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you for your presence in our lives. Lord, I'm so thankful this morning that you just break in. You interrupt us. You interrupted Mary. Here's a young teenage girl just living her own life, and you entered in with this, the greatest announcement of all time, Lord. Many of us can look back at the point in our lives where you burst forth, where your light just shone forth in the darkness that is our life, Lord. It is in that moment, Lord, that we found new life, peace, hope. Remind us afresh and anew this morning of that peace and that hope. But Lord, I also believe that you're challenging us. You're calling us to follow you. So Father, if we've stumbled along the way, or if we've stopped, if we've been stagnant, Lord, pray for the freshness of the Holy Spirit to come upon us once again. Reignite us, Lord, with passion. Remind us again of the beautiful story of what you did through a humble servant. This morning, Lord, I know this morning that you are able to do it again. When we humble ourselves before you, when we surrender our lives and make you Lord of all, you are able to do it again in and through us. So, Father, we are your servants. May your word to us be fulfilled, as you have said. Lord, lead us out from this place to be that very light that other people need. It's not us, it's Christ within us. It's what you've birthed within us. It's the Holy Spirit living within us, Lord. So send us out to share that light. And Father, give us new eyes to see those struggles and those situations. Give us new eyes to see those loved ones that we're praying for. And grow within us, Lord, the fruit of the Spirit, especially patience. For your glory and your kingdom, we pray together this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 May you go in peace this morning. You're loved. Hope to see you again on Tuesday night. Lord bless you.